And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is with us, who loves us dearly, and who welcomes us into glory in heaven one day after we finish this incredible race in faith that we are on. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I bring to you 2 Corinthians chapter 5:20. But that's in light of especially the Jeremiah reading this morning from the Old Testament. And when we hear these words from 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. But think about those words as God inspired Paul to write them. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And so when we think of Jeremiah this morning, I want you to think of him as an ambassador, because all the prophets are ambassadors, everyone who is honored to share the word of God with another individual is serving as an ambassador to Christ. And you know, we can readily relate to this term because in the political world, we understand what an ambassador is. And certainly they have a lot of responsibilities. In fact, I just went to the internet, to the government site, and looked at some of the parts of the definition describing the responsibilities and the character of an ambassador to the United States of America. And this is some of what I gleaned from that. This individual represents the President of the United States in our official capacity in foreign nations and communities. They are charged with protecting and promoting national interests. And then a little later on in the description goes on to say they speak one voice to others on U.S. policy. Think about that. They speak one voice, meaning the one voice of the president, meaning the one voice of whatever the policy is, and they are simply the communicator of that to the world where they serve. Well, think of that in light of Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah served as God's ambassador, and it wasn't Jeremiah seeking that position, but as you see on the screen, God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. And we hear that at the first chapter of his letter or his book in the Old Testament. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah says, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Isn't that cool? Before Jeremiah was even born, God had already appointed him to be a prophet. And then we hear, the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Now think about that statement from God calling Jeremiah to be a prophet, to be an ambassador of the Lord. And God says, I have put my words in your mouth. And then we go on to hear in chapter 2, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord. Now, this is the word that God put in Jeremiah's mouth. And so many times we hear Jeremiah introduce the message he brings with this statement, thus says the Lord. Making it clear, Jeremiah making it clear, this isn't my opinion, but this is what God has communicated to me to communicate to you. Go and proclaim to Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. And then as you continue on in that reading, we find the premise of the message that Jeremiah is to bring to Judah. And it's summed up in really a threefold part. And it's one voice, it's God's inspiration, and it's a call to repentance. In other words, telling Judah, recognize your sin and turn away from it. It's an announcement of the Babylonian captivity because God knows they are going to refuse to repent. And God is going to bring severe discipline upon the land. And he lays it out there well ahead of time, letting them know he is going to do this. And then the good news to prophesy the new covenant, the promise of Jesus Christ, the promise of the good news of salvation through Christ alone. But in all of these messages, Jeremiah is simply the communicator. He is the ambassador. He is one voice as a prophet with God who called him to proclaim. And you know, Jeremiah is known, by the way, right, as the weeping prophet. And you read through Jeremiah, and oh my gosh, what a battle Jeremiah went through. And severe persecution. And that's why you can understand the epistle and the gospel readings today, bringing this all together. It's not an easy journey in this dark, corrupted world to be an ambassador for Christ. You are going to be challenged many ways over. But Jeremiah stood firm against the false prophets. And it's interesting to see what the false prophets were proclaiming. Now, remember, this is the visible church of the Old Testament. This is what it looked like, and here are some of the messages that were being proclaimed in the visible church by the false prophets. And we heard of it at the beginning of our lesson here this morning, Jeremiah 23 and verses 16 through 17. And notice, here's the thus says again. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, oh, it'll be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, oh, no disaster is going to come upon you. Hey, everything's great. You know, you just keep living the way you are. You just keep rebelling against God. You can even run after other gods. It's all good because God loves you. Sounds like a really pleasant, exciting message, filling people with vain hopes, saying it's going to be well with you and no disaster will come upon you. Now, that's what the visible church, led by the false prophets and priests, are proclaiming to the church of the day. But what is God saying? Well, you know, in 16 and 17, and then you go to verses 22 and 25, it's a compilation of several statements. One, do not listen to the words of the prophets. Isn't that interesting? God is telling us not to listen to the prophets. But it's the false prophets. It's the ones who are not one voice with God who has called them legitimately. They speak visions of their own minds. Remember, what does an ambassador do? You speak the one voice of God. But here they speak from their own minds, their own opinions, their own desires. God says, they say to those who despise the word of the Lord. And so you see, in the culture of the church there at that time, that people weren't paying attention to God's voice. In fact, they were literally despising the word of God. And God said, if they had stood in my counsel, you know, then they would be my prophets. But they didn't stand in God's counsel. They were seeking their own counsel. They were seeking what they desired. And they prophesy, says God, they prophesy lies in my name. That's quite a contrast, wouldn't you say? Quite a contrast from the false prophet's message and what God declares. And his declaration is this in verse 29 of our text. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Boy, if you want to grow your church physically, there's the way to do it, right? Jeremiah, coming with the voice of God, one voice with God. Can you imagine the courage to declare these words to a stubborn and rebellious people of the day? What do you think Judah did in response? Do you think they repented? Do you think they said, oh my gosh, God, what have we done? No, if you read on in Jeremiah, you go to chapter 26, we find out that here is what they conclude. And notice, it's the leaders of the visible church. It's the priests and it's the false prophets who come up with this conclusion, we'll just kill him. If we get rid of Jeremiah, he must die because he's speaking this voice that nobody wants to hear. We get rid of him and all's going to be good in the land of Judah. Can you imagine? What a stark contrast from being an ambassador to going out and promoting your own selfish philosophies. Well, that was 700 years plus, well, much more than that, many years ago in Judah. But what about the modern prophets? And I'm talking about the church today. You know, prophesy means primarily to proclaim the word of God. To be a prophet today, whether on in the public square, as I am, as a called and ordained pastor, or in the private sector, as we all are, wherever we have opportunity to dialogue and have conversation to share God's word, we are called prophets of God. And it's a huge responsibility. And so in the visible Christian church today, there are those still who falsely claim that they are called by God. And it's very evident among false pastors, if you will, today, who intentionally and openly degrade the voice of God, degrade his word. And we see it happening all around us. All you need to do is read the Greeley Tribune editorials on the religious faith page. And many of you have graciously, I don't get the Tribune, and you've brought me the articles. One, even saying, as a Christian pastor, I'm ashamed that anyone would believe that they're saved by Jesus Christ. Now figure that one out. But that's a very blatant one that can easily be seen. But God says the visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. And in my 35 years of ministry, I've just seen a trend of different hot topics that have come up in our culture and become embraced by our culture, and then the church caves in to the culture. And one of those, of course, goes from the history of man since the fall, is works righteousness. I mean, it's in all of us to think and to have the arrogance and want to be part of the glory of saving ourselves. It's just part of our sinful human nature. We have to really be careful with that one, because even today, the majority of Christianity preaches works righteousness. It may be in subtle ways, but you must do something in order to save yourself. And God says you're dead. Says that to all of us. There's not a thing you can bring to the table. You wouldn't even have the desire if you could. No, the glory goes to God for righteousness. And yet, works righteousness a predominant teaching. But how about evolution? You know, at one time it was just commonplace to know God as creator. You know what amazes me? I've been watching the Apollo 11 documentaries because 50th anniversary, I really get into that stuff. I followed it as a kid, and now to reflect back upon it. And they will show old clips of talking to astronauts and some of the premier scientists and engineers of the day, and virtually all of them mention God. And a number of them even bring up the word creation. And it just flows out of their mouths. It's just a natural part of their conversation. Boy, it's a different world today, isn't it? And it shouldn't shock us that the unbelieving secular world would embrace evolution and deny a creator. But you know, it's really tragic when the church proclaims that from the pulpit. And many churches do, many pastors do. Or prosperity theology. How about that one? You know, if my faith is just strong enough, boy, we could pack this place with prosperity theology. Never talk about sin, never talk about death, never bring up God's will, but say, you know what, just like the prophets in the Old Testament, the false ones, hey, everything's great, guys. You can just totally go against what God has taught us in His Word and what clearly is known by our consciences. It's okay because God loves you and He's going to make you prosper. Well, there is prosperity, but it's not that prosperity. One day in the glory of heaven, we are going to experience the prosperity like we've never seen it, but not before then. Or what about abortion? Abortion years ago, for the most part, the church was very firm in one voice against that. And now it's just another common way of birth control. And it's acceptable as that. And the church, from the pulpit, for the most part, proclaims the acceptance of that. Or homosexuality. How about that one? And many churches openly embracing that sin. And is that like a sin greater than all other sins? No. But it's the one that is just flaunted upon us from all the media sections today. And it's almost like if you come out, you are the hero of heroes in our society. And there's the problem. And the greater problem is the church begins to embrace it. And how about pluralism? You know that, Christ is one way to salvation, but there's many other. You know, pastor, can you really believe that somebody that doesn't believe and confess Jesus Christ is going to be condemned to hell? Boy, you are really narrow-minded and you are really judgmental. Well, don't the one people speaking the one voice of God, isn't it good to warn people? Because God doesn't want anybody to be in hell. But if we don't tell people, if we're not honest with people that salvation is through Christ alone, and we allow them to believe, I can worship Buddha, I can worship Allah, I can even worship myself, and it's all good because we're all going to the same place. Yeah, brother, that's right, we are. We'll all feel good. We can clap our hands and have a happy moment. But in doing that, we're literally sending people to hell. We're not even warning them of the consequence. But the prophets of old, like the false prophets of today, the false prophets of old, the message is, it's well, it shall be well with you. Well, what say you? Where are you at in your heart this morning? Do you speak one voice with the Lord when you're out in the public square? Boy, it's easy to cave in. Even Jesus made a pointed statement in the gospel reading, didn't he? In Luke 12, do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. If you want to be in a conversation and see instant division building, just bring up Jesus Christ. Just be one voice with Christ. And I know we've all done that. We know what happens. But isn't it good news to know that He is the prophet? Remember the three offices of Christ: prophet, priest, and king? Jesus is the perfect prophet. He is the one voice with God because He Himself is God. He is the Word that has become flesh and has dwelt among us. And it's this one who is, as the writer of Hebrews proclaims, God inspiring these words, God's voice. Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. He's the one. And through him who endured the cross, we have the blessings of salvation. As we hear in Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus endured the cross for us sinners and for sinners of all time. It's only in him that we have hope. It's only in him that we find salvation. It's only in him that we have the security of everlasting life through the security of his love that he bestows upon us. And it's through him that we receive this marvelous gift of faith, that we can then embrace personally all that God offers to us as his people. And that's who we are. We have been called into the faith through the waters of baptism, through hearing God's word. We have been called by name. And have you ever thought of it? You have been called by name also to be a prophet, to be an ambassador, to be one voice with God who has called you. You know, Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what do you think? Are you going to go with the voice of the world says, doesn't really matter. You can believe in whatever you want to believe. We're all going to the same place. Or do you want to believe the word, God himself who became flesh and says there is no other way? It's only through Jesus. And that's our greatest honor, because that's a life-giving message that you and I are blessed to share as Christ's ambassadors. In Jeremiah 23, verse 28, we children of faith are called to this. Let the prophet who has my word speak my word faithfully. That's our calling. One voice, and we couldn't have a greater honor than to represent God upon this earth. In the power and in the love, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we then faithfully go forth to serve. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the Word that has become flesh. Amen.